All right, perfect. All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're meeting in a work session today. It is Monday, March 10th, approximately 3 p.m. for a work session on case number PU 13-803, MDU's requested natural gas service rate increase. We've got one issue today, I think, specifically we're going to talk about. I don't have any particular opening comments. I would open it up to my colleagues if they have any, and then I would turn it over to Commissioner Fedorchuk. Randy, you have anything?
I have no opening comments. Ready to get into the meat of the day.
All right. Well, okay. Commissioner, we'll turn it over to you then.
All right. Good. Well, we have a we had our hearing on this. Forgetting when it was. It's probably listed here. Let's see. February 5th. And went through all the issues. I think that for me, there's two, you know, the two big issues is how do we allocate the revenue and the customer service charge issue. I don't have a lot of questions about outstanding questions, technical questions or anything. I personally liked the advocacy staff's proposal of assigning equal percentage increases to all classes other than the large interruptible class. And basically flattening out the revenue increases on each of the classes so that they're more equal. So everybody has a similar piece of the pie in terms of what they're paying as a percentage for the revenue or the increase. I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on that.
Randy?
Do you both have the proposed order? I'm not exactly sure when this came in, Pat.
I'm not sure.
I don't have the
Okay. Order. Well, that's probably a pretty important place to start.
I just have my notes from the last.
So, Pat, do you want to walk through it? Would that be a good place to start, Brian, Randy?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay. Page one is background on the dates and settlement. Date settlement was filed and the dates that we had hearings. And the notice and the issues that were listed in the notice on the rates, what the remaining non-resolved issues after approving the settlement, and the public hearing. There's a paragraph about the public hearing there.
What page on, Pat? Just so
page two, just before findings of fact.
Yep.
Okay, first couple of findings of fact. Well, actually, number two is a good place to start, probably. Montana Dakota proposed that the revenue increase from the settlement agreement be allocated among customer classes as follows. And then page three shows the percentages of revenue increase for each customer class. Finding three states that MDU's proposed revenue increase to the customer classes was based upon class cost of service study prepared showing the following returns among the customer classes. And so their class cost of service study showed these returns from the classes before the increase allowed in the settlement.
For number three, yep.
Okay. Number three. Number four states that the proposed revenue allocation among customer classes would result in an average monthly increase of $2.72 for a typical residential customer using 92 decatherms on an annual basis. And then it says how much the increase would be for a small general service or small firm and then large firm. Number 5 states Montana Dakota's proposed revenue allocation among customer classes would provide the following class rates of return based on its class cost of service study. This is now with the increase. That was adopted in the settlement.
Yeah.
And their proposed, they being MDU's proposed rate allocation.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So, I mean, if right now the rate of return for the Air Force is 12% and it increases by 1.19%, can that be possible that that brings it up to 35%?
I'm sorry, could I have you repeat that again? Question?
The Air Force is currently at 12.162%, right?
Before the increase, yes.
Yeah, and so, and it's a pretty small increase, 1.19%.
Mm-hmm.
And that would leave MDU with the rate of return on the Air Force bill of 35%. It seems like an impossibly large jump yeah. compared to what the others do.
No, I haven't had a chance to confirm these numbers, so I'm just taking them.
But they talked a bit about why they have such a good rate of return on the Air Force.
Yep.
During our hearing.
It just doesn't seem like that could, a 1% increase could triple their rate of return. But I don't know. I don't have anything to show why it wouldn't either. It just seems like a mistake.
The numbers looked high to me. But I haven't had a chance to check them or call the company about them either. Going on from there, on paragraph 6, the order talks about the allocation of distribution mains among the classes and that the difference between the company's proposal and staff. The proposal that staff testified to at the hearing. And I think the point that staff was making at the hearing was that if you change that allocation, you can show that the return from residential customers is really a bit higher than what MDU says, and that the return from firm general and the other classes is a little bit lower. And so maybe you don't have to raise the residential class rates as much.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes into paragraph number 7 talks about objectives in rate design and objectives in changing rate design. Number 8 is the advocacy staff's proposed rate design or revenue assignment among classes, showing more of an even across the board type of increase to all the classes.
What was the theory behind the large interruptible being 1.8%? The rationale for that?
They're probably already paying more than they should for their fair share.
I have a note. I wrote a note down when this was being presented, and my note states that flex rate customers on contract, are removed from the increase analysis. And therefore, when you remove them from the increase analysis, the percent increase should amounts to 1.8% instead of 4. Does that sound right? No? that's a note I had written down. I guess that might not be right, but
Mm-hmm. Well, I have some notes from my...
There's a lot of busyness in this draft order that I think we got to clean up.
That's they provide a benefit to all customers because they have a higher load factor using gas on a more consistent basis. Is that why we would not increase them as much? Or are they already contributing more than they should be? I mean, Jerry can't talk because he was advocacy staff. So can he come in here and explain this now or not?
He can come in and explain it, except he can't really increase the facts that are in the record. But we can see if we can figure out the answer from the record.
Well, before we
give us a few
down
minutes.
This road here, I appreciate going through the order, and I think it's the right call, but I would just like to step back and have just some general discussion here to make sure we're all back in the same sheet of music, or at least I get there. The real issues at play are how we're going to break out the cost and the fixed charge. And
right.
So what do we want to do there, no matter who proposed what?
Right.
Is what I would like just to generally talk about. You know, because the...
Well, part of that answer is this, understanding the... There's those two questions. One of them is how we allocate the cost. That's what we're trying to get the bottom of, Jerry's rationale for this.
But I think,
and then the second piece is the customer, you know, flat customer charge.
Well, I guess
charge.
That's the point. What did you two think philosophically about the increasing the flat rate? Because that drives, I think, about everything. There's your fixed charge every month. That you do a larger increase for that, then that's really going to lower some of your other costs. Because I thought the company made some really good points about it benefits everyone to have a larger fixed cost. But then, of course, we heard strong objection from AARP about that. And so, because they felt that that was going to put too much cost onto their members. But I don't know that I saw it necessarily that way, because it kind of, the numbers kind of showed that depending who you are in that wheel, it may benefit you more. That was where I'd be curious to what staff thought about if they bought into that argument, meaning that you actually benefit more depending what age you are by the current rate structure.
I mean, philosophically, I buy into the argument.
But it wasn't philosophical. They showed numbers about different times to the year.
Well, exactly. It isn't necessarily a totally negative impact when you move that fixed, you know, increase that fixed charge and decrease the other charge. And I frankly thought the late filed exhibit from AARP, the email, was slightly misleading.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a broader discussion for all of our rate cases, is that the fixed charge, it seems like a better rate-making principle for larger fixed charges for everything, because then you can equally spread that out. But if that's not the time to change it now, then I think that's a really big question to answer, because the rest, I think, follows from that, is the way I see it. And I'm really quite honestly open to either one, as long as we have the discussion about we really kind of set the stage where we're going in the future, because this comes up in every case, and that it does.
Well, I looked back a bit on what the commission has done in the past on this, and this commission approved similar policy for NSP in 2005.
Mm-hmm. With the fixed cost.
Went from, a setup similar to what MDU has today, where you have the delivery charge and the volumetric charge. And to the flat customer service charge, and apparently there was some consternation before and some after, but the complaints quickly ceased, and we didn't get a lot of customers who complained about it, which is fairly telling that, you know, maybe it was. Once it became more understood and in place, and people saw the actual effect, not the potential effect or what people were suggesting it might be, they actually saw the impact on their bills. It wasn't as bad as they thought, and that's borne out by what we're seeing as if you look at somebody's bills today and applied this method. We can see what the results would be. And in the winter, they'd pay less. In the summer, they pay more because they're not using as much gas in the summer. So today, under a volumetric fee, or a fee that places more value on the quantity used, they're not going to pay as much in the summer. But they're going to pay a whole lot more in the winter. And if you flatten that out and assume that everybody who takes gas from the system should pay for the system a same amount based on their class, and then from that point, it's you pay by use, then, you know, you're going to have people paying more in the summer and less in the winter. And it's basically, we know what the net amount is, a couple dollars a month total increase. So I personally think that for the reasons the company outlined, including the fact that I think that there could be a fair number of high-income people who are benefiting from the current rate structure where they have a line to their house for gas service, for grills, et cetera, that use hardly nothing, and they're not paying even a fair share of the cost to bring that line to their home. That's not right. Versus their neighbor who is using it for heat or whatever else and is paying a bulk of it. So I think it makes it more fair. And also, there's a disincentive for the company now to encourage conservation because they're getting part of their fixed costs paid for by gas usage. And so this eliminates that. And I think long term for rate making, I think that's an appropriate way to go. So and I looked at the, you know, doing it in stages, you know, doing like going halfway or versus going the whole way. And I think that, you know, in reality, the cost difference is not that much. I don't know that it's the customers would notice that.
Well, they'll notice if they're caused to be alarmed by it, by, you know, if someone wants to make it an issue and you can spin it in a way that makes it sound bad. And
yeah, for the people who are using it for, yeah, for one thing, like say that you're just running it out to your shop, then you're probably going to be irritated.
Yeah, I think, of course, the company's responsibility or role as far as the conservation part of it, I probably am less concerned about than maybe some other people. But I think, you know, when it comes to the fixed charges or the gas charges, you know, I don't think there really is a always right answer that you can take to the bank year after year, case after case, and this is always how it should be. You know, it shouldn't all be a fixed cost because someone who uses a lot more gas should pay a little bit more. But it shouldn't all be on the volume of gas either because, like you say, the person that just has it there for using the grill a couple times a year shouldn't get by for just that cost of gas either. And I think in this particular case that MDU made a pretty good case that it has become somewhat unbalanced on charging on the gas side, and that so that there does need to be some monthly service increase here, and so I do think that we need to do that.
Yeah. So the choices of the service monthly service charge, though, from $9 to $18 is what I remember what it would go to for the residential charge. And so what I thought I heard testimony from AARP and others was they weren't against moving it. We couldn't pin them down to what exactly they would agree to. But they weren't against moving it. They were against moving it the whole way. So is there somewhere where we can move it up? Let me rephrase it. I would like to move it up a little bit, not all the way to the $18, and then go back accordingly and adjust down the line.
I think they suggested 12, but
I don't recall pinning them to a number.
Yeah, no, there was a number he agreed to.
Maybe we didn't quite go this far, but in this order, does the advocacy staff's proposal here that's at 4% for everybody except the large interruptibles, does that include the $18 fee then, or was it some other number?
Yeah. The 4% is the allocation of the revenue requirement to the classes. And so What you do then is if you decide to use the fixed charge for a residential customer, you would apply that $18.07 per month fixed charge to the number of residential customers, determine if there's any other revenue to be collected in other charges to the residential customers to make 4%.
What is
you wouldn't apply. You would apply. So the 18% would $18 would go down, wouldn't it?
It could.
Because before they were using an allocation factor to come up with the $18, they were using an allocation of 5.03%. So if you used the 4%, then the $18 would come down.
I think what Pat is saying, the $18, is it $9 now? And
yeah.
That extra $9, that's part of the 5.03%. Is that what you're saying? And in this
yes,
case,
it
it's part of the 4.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And so this is comparing 5.03% on residential to 4%. Then there would be a whole different question whether we want to reach 4% or 5% with a $9 monthly fee or mm-hmm. some other number. And okay.
I didn't follow that. Was it the way I had said? Was what I said accurate?
Well, yeah. Okay. You would apply, I guess the way I would do, if I was trying to calculate this, I would apply the $18.07 and see how much of an increase in revenue that brought in the residential class. If it brought more, it apparently would bring 5.3%.
Yes, okay.
So $18, that amount would be, if you determined that the residential class should only have a 4% increase, then you would not charge $18.07.
Right. It would be lower.
Or would you charge $18.07 and lower their gas cost?
No,
the
wouldn't
gas
do that.
Cost isn't part of this. It's separate.
Gas cost is separate.
Okay.
The gas cost is totally separate. So everything that we're collecting from residentials is the company is proposing all of that revenue. So whether it's 4% of the total revenue amount or whether it's a 4% increase as advocacy staff or whether it's 5.03, all of that revenue, this proposal that the company has set before us, we're considering, would have all of it coming from that customer service charge, the flat
yes.
charge. So if you decrease the amount for any one of these categories, their increase is going to be less than what we've considered versus, you know, some of these would go up. Firm services, the company proposed 2.17. Jerry proposed 4%. So that's how it would fluctuate. So that
the reason for the 1.8 may be in the last sentence in paragraph 8, where it says that the advocacy staff's proposal would result. Oops, hang on. The advocacy staff's proposal would result in the following percentage increases among the customer classes, taking into account discounted large interruptible contract rates would not be increased.
And why did he want to leave them out of it?
Well, they're contract rates, so you can't increase.
Oh, okay.
Today. That's number one. So when you carve them out of the grand total, that's why that's a 1.8. But that's just an aside from a couple minutes ago's discussion.
Oh, here's where he says it. This is where it clarified.
Sure.
All customers should share in the burden of a rate increase. In the past, I've tried to recommend a general rule of thumb that no customer class receive less than one-half or more than twice the overall percentage increase. Therefore, I recommend the large interruptible be assigned an increase equal to one-half the percentage increase to the other classes, because otherwise they'd be paying more than what that formula is. Okay. So if you did the percentage, if you went to a, you know, if you gradually increased the customer, the flat customer charge, to like $12 or whatever, I would be interested in what that charge is if we went to the, you know, different allocation factor. Where would the rest of the revenue come from then? Where would the customers pay for it? Because they wouldn't be done paying. They'd still have additional charge beyond the $12. So, you know.
In not lowering the cost of the gas.
Come from the gas cost. We're not affecting the price of gas here.
You don't go to 18 or whatever the right number is. It has to come from the gas cost.
No, you can't.
It would come from that other charge, a delivery charge. A volumetric charge.
Volumetric charge, yes.
It wouldn't be the gas cost. It wouldn't be the fuel, the cost of gas.
No, because we're not
getting
into the
gas. But it's based on gas usage. If you don't recover it.
So you'd keep that charge. They're proposing getting rid of it. We'd keep it and make it smaller.
Yep.
So you'd have some volumetric charge, which is called, what is their distribution fee? Isn't it what they're proposing, getting rid of the distribution charge?
Delivery charge, distribution charge.
Delivery, maybe it was called. Well, I don't believe that it would be a huge difference for the customer either way. You know, we're talking a couple dollars a month difference. But I'm not opposed to it either. I mean, if it's.
I guess what I'd like to see is some numbers based on a $12 volume charge, and then back up the other numbers, and let's see what that looks like, and give us a choice somewhere in the middle. Not even in the middle. So give us another look between 9 and 18.
Well, I'd also like to see using the 4%, using the advocacy staff's proposed cost allocation formula, what does the customer service charge, what is it then?
Using the revenue increase allocated to classes the way the staff had proposed.
Yep. It is?
Mm-hmm. It probably is, yeah.
But
I think I remember it is.
Oh.
I think that for this, it's fine that we have a draft order, but really, I mean, I don't think this is what I'd like for an order. This is far too wordy. You get down to where we're at with what we think the three of us or two of us can agree on for the customer charge, and then look at Julie's numbers for 4%, take the 12 number that I want, back out what that could be, and we'll have another one of these.
Are you, I think you're saying is, see what the distribution, let's call it distribution delivery charge. Determine what that would be if the customer flat charge was just $12.
A move to 12.
If you moved it to 12.
And
keep the 4% increase.
If we took a $12 a month delivery charge, service charge, and took the 4%, how close would that get to the total amount they're authorized to get?
Should be able to do that.
And then if it's not there, then we adjust. If it is there, then we lower. That would be my thought.
Say that again.
Okay, use the $12 fee instead of 18, and then use the 4% allocator that staff recommends. Put those numbers together and see if that total revenue picture equals. If it equals what the company is looking for, that's an alternative. If it's not, then maybe it has to go to $13, or maybe it has to go to...
Well, it won't be equal to.
There will be another column, which is the gas usage charge, what it's going to be.
I see your point.
You're just going from memory, or... Because if the residential drops by basically a percent, yes, it's less money for the company, but then
the other one's
firm general service is almost doubling. And I thought the point of this order was that 8 was an alternative to 3 that are roughly equal to the company.
But the suggestion was to if the MDU plan was $18 a month fixed charge and the Jerry plan was $17.50 or whatever, $17.30 fixed charge, and you want to go to 12, that will not come up with the grand total. The grand total isn't changing. 4%
would go all the way up to $17?
Well, I think that's what Jerry just whispered in the background, and it is in his testimony. I just don't have it in front of me. Yeah.
His testimony?
I think it's in his testimony, but there the grand total of dollars that the company is due is fixed because it's been ordered by the commission. So Jerry's testimony wasn't changing that. He was just changing how to spread it around. And he did say on the stand, I do remember, if you do this, it lets you not raise the customer charge quite so high. I kind of remember that. So whatever it is, let's say it's 17, because it doesn't really matter. But if we want to work with a 12, and we will run the numbers for, say, 12, and I was going to ask if you wanted another alternative like 15.
Well, it's halfway in between there. It would give us a good rule of thumb for, so why don't we?
That wouldn't change, in my mind, you're not saying change the Jerry testimony that said make these percentage increases more equal amongst classes, okay? So you're just going to work with what is the customer amount that you need to get from customers, and instead of getting 18 a month fixed, you're going to get 12 or 15 or something like that, and then there will be a column with what does that volumetric charge have to go up in order to make what Jerry testified to as the amount to recover from the residential customer. Okay, because nobody's talking about any less money here because the money's fixed.
Right.
It's just who do you get it from?
And how. Whether it's a, you know, basic service charge or basic service charge plus a volumetric charge.
Like two allocation problems. The first one among the classes, the second one within the bill.
But the MDU's proposal, the 5.03, that's based on 1807 a month, is that what was said?
That would result in 1807.
Result in. Okay.
Yeah, and the 5.03 is the before the revenue. It's the 6.143 is the MDU proposal after the increase.
So if you figured a $15 a month fee and a $12 a month fee, you should be able to then do the math and back it out and say, okay, if we did each of those, each one would result in a residential increase of a certain percent.
If you increase the volumetric charge at the same time, if you want to not do that, it will change that 4444 that Jerry testified to because somebody else under there will go up.
Well,
so
I think
whatever you want us to run, we'll run.
I think it would be simpler if we decided whether we agree with Jerry's proposal for flattening out and spreading more equally between the classes where the revenue is coming from. If we agree with that or if we want to follow the company's plan. Because there's two questions here. One is how are you going to collect it from the various customer classes?
Right.
And then once you do that, then you get into the money from each. Then you get into this, whether it's a volumetric plus a flat fee or just a flat fee? That's a separate question. Mm-hmm. First, you have to decide. And I believe that Jerry's proposal is a good one. The company didn't oppose it, and neither did AARP. It seems fair. So I think we should, personally, I would propose we just go along with the 4.44 and 1.8% distribution among the various classes, the allocation percentages.
I'm not going to commit to anything today, Julie. I still want to see the $12. I don't disagree with that, but I'm not.
Okay, well, then that's separate. The $12, then, that's a separate issue. So we can have them run it a couple different ways. What we have right now, the 18.09 cents, that's the charge that residentials will pay to equal the revenue allocation formula that the company is proposing here. That's how that comes. It comes out to $18.09 per customer. If we reduce that to 4%, then it'll be more like $17.50 or whatever that number is. So if you want to then decide, say we're going to go with that, so we've got $17.50, we want to go to a $12 customer charge maximum, then we have to increase between, so we have to increase $5.50 for the distribution and delivery charge, the volumetric thing. We have to come up with a formula for that to get the company what we agreed that they could have as revenue.
We can run the MDU allocated classes with a different fixed charge, and we can run the Jerry Fedorchek allocated classes with a different fixed charge, and then you can see how it plays out. That's okay. Is that okay with you? I'm volunteering you for this.
Well, I'm hoping there's a schedule in Tammy's testimony that we can use to generate revenue from these different charges, and I can show you revenue from each type of charge. And the only one I'm not sure about is I can't remember if we probably have sales for residential customers that we could apply a distribution delivery charge.
To Julie's point, it's very there. The money comes from only so many different places. Mm-hmm. So you have a chart that shows if you go 18, we already have that. And if you could do a 15, you could do a 12, and then you'd have your other columns. Mm-hmm. And one might be a 10% rate increase for somebody to get you to what you might need if you go to $12. But you can put together a matrix like that.
Right, but I guess I'm
saying, I mean, we've done that before.
Right, but we still need to know as staff. We can do a matrix with how MDU has allocated among classes, or we can do a matrix the way Jerry staff has allocated among classes. Or, this is the more complicating, what I think I might be hearing you saying is a possibility is when you take the revenue away from the residential class, the part that the $6 a month represents that you're not going to start charging them, instead of putting it in their volumetric, you're going to put it in the other classes. You're going to have the other class. Okay,
other classes, not the residential.
That's a third alternative.
You don't do any good by taking it from the fixed charge and putting it in a different thing. You put it along amongst the other classes.
Well, but then this formula changes.
Then
the residential would be
changed. But we can show you.
That's why I said I wasn't willing to commit to that because it's a whole other. And that's what we've gotten here in the past is commissions previously have done that.
Exactly.
And that's why you've got this scenario.
Exactly. So we can.
And I'm not saying that's what I'm going to end up with, but I'd certainly like to look.
You want to see it? I understand. And
because living the Otter Tail rate case, where we had the large industrial group came in as an intervener and said, "We're tired of paying the freight on all these residential all these increases," so they pushed back hard, and we added the residential increase for Otter Tail. Mm-hmm. For XL's case, nobody came in on any side, but we decided, the three of us at that time, to move more to the fixed cost, if you will. And so I just like to look at some other alternatives. Maybe along the way we can do some learning to the groups that they understand that there's a cost that's going to have to come at some point.
And if we did take away some of that, the difference between the 12 and the 18, we'd be pushing that over to the other classes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. The business classes.
Correct.
Who, based on what I've seen, are already paying more, and it's already favoring residential customers quite heavily.
You are correct.
So is there any interest in a little bit higher than 12, like 15?
I think we should do everything we do with 12, we should do with 15, and it gets us midways in there, and we kind of see once how much difference a slight adjustment can make.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Then we can schedule another work session tomorrow or Wednesday at our commission meeting.
Sounds reasonable to me.
That doesn't. That
and you're, because we had this an hour ago on a different case. You're talking about on Wednesday we will schedule.
Yes.
In the future.
Yes.
As opposed to people listening thinking, no, that means we're going to schedule a meeting for Wednesday.
Right. Yes. We'll agree that at that point we will schedule a meeting.
Let me ask you this question, Alana. The AARP did not intervene. So their right to submit things is done now, right? They have no recourse.
They have a recourse.
I shouldn't say recourse, but like, okay, advocacy staff has the ability to file things and the company has ability. If AARP is sitting out there and they have changed their mind on something, Can they then give that to us?
I think they can give us anything if it constitutes facts. You would decide whether you wanted to make it part of the record and do a notice that we want to incorporate something into the record, which is the same thing you would do if it were MDU or staff filing it. But if they want to say, like, we listened to this work session and now we're convinced that we have no objection, they can file something
that's,
like that.
That's where I was going with that, because
right.
That's one of the things that gets frustrating after you have the hearing closed.
<I didn't. laughs>
If you're not an intervener, you lose your ability. I shouldn't say you lose it. You never had the ability.
Well, to question. You always have the ability to comment, and then we would just figure out if it's a fact or not and whether it needs
anyone out there listening, no matter who you are, you have the ability to comment.
Right.
But that's where in Otter Tail's case with the large industrial group intervened, they were sitting right here.
Right, and that gave them an opportunity to cross-examine the company witnesses
right.
And things, so and the Jerrys.
The way it's set up right now in interim rates, educate me again how the interim rates are set up. The rates have been decided, but has there been a move at all on the customer? Nothing has changed. It's still the $9. Okay. Double checking. So when we apply interim rates, where did that just increases? How does that tie into this? Just for a
general. Well, interim rates are always based on your previous rate order, so you wouldn't change. You can get revenue, but I don't think you would change from 9 to 18.
Right.
On the interim, because you have to be doing what was authorized before. You just get more of it.
If you get an interim rate and you're also asking for an increase in the basic cost, your interim rates really aren't as much as you're probably entitled to. I see.
That's right. And I don't know what I don't know the answer on the interim rates in this particular case, because all that happened when I was gone.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Sorry. I just was pontificating.
I'm not sure if I understand the question, but the interim rates were a percentage of your existing rates, just a percent. And the in the settlement, the interim, they lowered the amount they were going to increase rates because of the settlement. They were going to go 4.5, I think it was, and they went 4.25. So, but a percentage of what customers were currently paying at that time.
Correct.
To get that increase. And now we're talking about rate design.
The interim rates equaled the rates that we would have gotten for the revenue increase. So there was no overpayment.
No refund.
Yep. Okay. Anything else?
Nothing else.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
Nope.
Staff? All right, we'll go ahead and close the work session. Thank you all very much.